Hi there, welcome to episode number 23 of Fashionpreneur Talk with Gitana Styling Podcast. My name is Sandra Matteo Iori, I'm a fashion stylist and business consultant. This podcast is about having genuine conversations about fashion entrepreneurship and getting your questions answered. Remember, you can always send your questions to info@gitanastyling.com. You can remain anonymous if you want, or you can share your name, your business, and your website with us, and we will be happy to share with our listeners. We also want to invite you to hang out with us inside our free private Facebook group, the Fashion Entrepreneur Club Hangout. In there, we provide you with inspiration, support, and knowledge to build a successful fashion business. Now, today is episode number 23, and we have a fantastic guest with us. Her name is Suzanne Binique, or By Binique, an ethically manufactured, operatically inspired women's wear line made in downtown Los Angeles. Suzanne has captivated audiences across the globe and has been recognized as one of the most influential women in classical music as an opera artist. She's also a community engagement leader, she's a photographer, and now she's a successful clothing designer. I'm so excited to have her here with us. Welcome, welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you so, so much for having me here. I'm so excited to be part of this podcast and engage with your fashionable community.
Awesome. Yeah, we're super happy to have you here. I have so many questions for you because you encompass a lot of the things that we talk about. So I know that this is going to be so helpful to everyone listening right now. Well, I just read a little bit of your bio, which is incredible. And you are definitely a successful, multi-passionate entrepreneur, what Marie Forleo calls a multi-passionate entrepreneur. How do you handle, Suzanne, all these wonderful careers that you have while taking care of yourself and your personal life? Tell me.
So I think for me, I've always been somebody who struggled with boundaries, and I've always been somebody who is extremely passionate about everything that I'm doing. But once I opened up my clothing line By Binique, I realized I couldn't do everything. I had to make a call and I had to say, okay, Suzanne, you cannot do everything all at the same time, even though you can do everything. So for me, it was really making my clothing line a priority, setting boundaries for myself, and I mean, with also keeping goals for myself and milestones, but also finding time to just relax and to just say, okay, like, you've done enough today, turn your phone off, turn your computer off, and step away.
I know, it's so hard. I mean, the same thing happened to me in the beginning when I started my entrepreneur journey. Like, you want to take this structure of the previous job that you had, right, of how, you know, usually the hours you work and everything. And then you started being an entrepreneur because you kind of wanted to be in control. And then still you let the other rules control you instead of you controlling the situation and taking advantage of, you know, your power, right? So it's also not overworking, but also, you know, having flexibility with yourself and going with the flow, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes there's a day where I'm like, okay, I need to take a breather because I have been grinding for 2 weeks straight. So it's time to take a break.
I agree 100%. So, you know, I think now with technology and the internet, and particularly with the situation we're going through right now, more and more people are turning to their passions, right, to make a living. And like you do this on a regular basis, and you include actually many passions at the same time. What are your tips on this based on your experience for people who are listening?
I think you really need to be honest with yourself if something is a hobby or if something has wings to fly. I think with me, with my clothing line, it really came from a place where I started designing the clothes that didn't really exist or that were inspired by vintage pieces I had come across from when I had my previous business where I sourced vintage clothing. I think the most important thing that any entrepreneur can do is to build a community, because without a community, you don't have a business. So I would say during this time, really focus on your relationships, whether they're on social media, picking up the phone and calling your friends, and, you know, really coming up with a strong game plan for yourself and setting intentional goals.
I agree. lot of people, they just focus on the passion part, but they don't really focus at all on the business, you know, logical sense. Like, I work with a lot of designers who are very, very passionate about what they do, and they're very talented, for example, but they really don't pay attention to the sales, but then they're struggling because they don't make enough sales, right? So I have to tell you, you have to have a plan in place. And sometimes, even if you're not that kind of person, right, you can learn or you can hire, right?
Absolutely. I'm all about, if there's something that I can't do that's taking up too much of my time, mm-hmm. outsource it. Because there's, especially right now during the pandemic, there's so many people who have so many incredible skills that mm-hmm. you can connect with, and they can help you with your business. And yes, you're losing a little bit of your profit, but you're also gaining more of your time to mm-hmm. focus on the things that are really, really important to your business.
Agree. And if you don't set goals for the business, you can't get upset about not reaching them, right?
Exactly. I'm all about every day having an intentional goal. Like, I set a goal in mind. I say, I'm going to sell this many pieces, or I'm going to earn this much money today, or I'm going to double my earnings from yesterday. It's every day when I wake up, it's methodical, and it's something that I manifest for myself and say, I'm not going to stop working until this happens.
Yeah.
So it's also being accountable for setting those goals.
100%. And like you said, you know, if you don't want to make a business out of it and you want to have it as a hobby, that, I mean, that's fine too. You just have to be clear, right, where you stand.
I read something last week about the difference between an entrepreneur and a wantrepreneur. Uh-huh. And it really just, like, it hit me, and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely more in the entrepreneur category. That, like, if something happens and I fail, I'm going to start and I'm going to figure out why I failed, and I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to keep doing that. And that's how you scale a business. Whereas somebody who's a entrepreneur, they might just be like, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to make an Instagram post. People will see it. I don't need to engage. I just put it out there, and it's there. I make a fashion website, and now it's there. I don't have to do anything else. I've started a business. And that's just not how it works.
Yeah, completely. I agree. And I, you know, we're not perfect. I make mistakes all the time, and I've gone through these waves, you know, along the way. And every time you just learn more, and you just,
exactly,
you get clearer and clearer about what you want. That's all. Okay. So another thing I wanted to talk to you about, you always talk, you know, it's all over your website, about, you know, creating that dream job for yourself, working in your, you know, your own terms. When do you realize this was the way for you, that you have to create your own thing, that you have to do it a certain way? What sparked this in you?
So much of it was sparked from my career as an opera singer, because as a singer, I often felt like my fate and my destiny and my everything was in the hands of everybody else. Opera proved to me to not be a meritocracy. It proved to be something where there were all these gatekeepers, and there were all these people that, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how great I was, there was always somebody else interfering with where I could be next in my career. So that was something that, with my clothing line, I said, okay, this is my business. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm doing it. I don't need to listen to all the chatter behind me. I don't need to play by anybody else's rules. This is my business, which is why I put my last name Vinnick on the business. And it was like, by Vinnick, because this is my corner of the universe, and this is my corner of the internet. And you can either come play in my sandbox, or you can stay far away, because I don't need the negative energy that you sometimes get from external sources.
Yeah, I completely understand. And there's so much opportunity now, right? Like, anyone can start a business. You can start 3 businesses if you want today, you know, like with the internet and all the apps that we have. And even if you want to hire people, like, you can do it at so many different price levels. Like, there's so much opportunity to really build that dream job.
And there's so much incredible opportunity out there, especially with social media. I know that I've worked with even photographers I've worked with, people are like, oh my gosh, how did you work with this person? I was like, I found them on Instagram. Yeah. It's like, I just slid into their DMs and said, hey, I love what you do. I'd love to collaborate. What are your rates? What's your availability? How do we make this happen? And let's do it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And you have something that caught my attention. You have a program that you recently launched that is called Diva Who Hustles. And I think here we might know a little bit more about it. What can you tell us about it?
So my original Instagram handle was Diva Who Hustles, because when people would ask me what I did for a living, mm-hmm. it was sometimes just easier to start with, well, I'm a diva who hustles. and then I would go into, I'm an opera singer, I'm a photographer, I'm a stylist. Oh, now I am a clothing designer. So it was just like a catch-all that it was kind of, it started off as kind of a joke, but it became so much of who I am. And so during the pandemic, one of my good friends, David Lomeli from Dallas Opera, reached out to me and he said, hey, we're starting this network for Dallas Opera because we had to cancel all of our season for the spring, for the springtime at Dallas Opera. And we still want to connect with our audiences, but we're more interested in connecting with new audiences and connecting with younger people and finding them and making them know about Dallas Opera. And we know that with your community engagement skills and your presence on social media, we know that we can have an ally in you to help us meet that new goal. So I created this show, Diva Who Hustles, with Kiriana Otaño, who helped me produce it, because we all need to know our boundaries. We all need to know when we need help and when we're not great at something to outsource it.
Yeah.
So Kiriana and I put together this incredible show where we had, I think it was 12 or 13 episodes during the season, where we interviewed different divapreneurs in opera on topics of financial diversification, fashion, our passions, social justice, about body inclusivity. It was just such a great opportunity to really connect with my followers, but also to expand my following and to share that following with an opera company that I've been really closely associated with.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fantastic. How can we get access to that? So sad.
There is a page on the Dallas Opera website for the TDO network. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Dallas Opera's website and you can find all of those episodes there. They are also on Facebook, Instagram, and I believe they're also on YouTube as well.
Okay, awesome. We'll make sure to include those links in the notes then for people to, if they are interested and want to check it out. So let's dive deep now into your brand. I've gone to your website, I'm following you on Instagram, I've seen your pieces, and honestly, they're really gorgeous. I mean, they're elegant, they're chic, they're very unique. I see some Argentinian influence in there. And on top of that, they're ethically made and very high quality. You know, tell us a little bit about your process from the designer point of view, you know, the inspiration behind these beautiful pieces, your commitment to the slow fashion movement, which is something you talk about a lot about, sustainability, and, you know, the way that you operate, you know?
Well, I'm pretty much a one-woman show, except for the things that I have found people to help me with. For my designs, I am really influenced by vintage fashion. Mm-hmm. Having sourced vintage and having done so much styling and photography, mm-hmm. I've had my hands on incredible pieces that I've always wondered, like, oh my gosh, I want this, like, but it's not my size. So now being a designer, I've been able to take some of those classical elements and kind of rework them to make them very modern, very contemporary, that are body inclusive and that are also of the highest quality. What I really focus with my business is, like you said, ethical fashion. So that means that all of the people on my team are paid a living wage.
Okay.
I don't do this model where you know, pieces are made for pennies and people are earning like $3 an hour to make fashion. That's absolutely disgusting. And it happens so much that people think it just happens overseas. It's happening in Los Angeles as well. So it's something that is really important to me. I also work with a lot of dead stock textiles, and I work with small batch textiles as well. I have a very limited supply that I work with. So, you know, yes, you can buy fabric and you can buy yards and yards and yards of it, but it also, it might not work. So with dead stock, the wonderful thing about it is that you can purchase a few yards, see if it works, and then you can go crazy with it. The downside of working with dead stock textiles is that you might have something and somebody else might swoop in and you can't make those pieces. So it's figuring out that balance between, can I make this, or did somebody else see it and they wanted it too?
And it's made to order, correct?
Yes. So that was something that I have been really passionate about, because I've seen so many designers and their showrooms and their studios are a hot mess. Like, they have stuff that they've had for 15, 20 years, just collecting dust. So for me, if it doesn't fit on my one rack in my office, it does not happen. I won't mass produce things. It takes a little bit more time. But I think my clientele actually appreciate it because they know that each piece is made for them.
Yeah, and it goes with the body inclusivity too, because then you, that you have room there to make exactly what they need and serve them in a different level, definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I have one client who reached out to me today and she was like, I'm 4'11 and I think you're really tall. Would this work for me? And I was able to say, yeah, I can, let me talk to my manufacturer and give me your measurements and let me make some slight modifications to the pattern that we have for this piece.
Yeah, I think that's priceless. I think, you know, back in the day when they used to do that for people and the suits and everything, I think that's just priceless, you know, to have access to someone like that and have that special service. Like, there's no way you will go back to, you know, a big store or anything like that when you have that kind of treatment.
Absolutely. And I'm somebody, like, even though I've been in the e-commerce world for now, I think 8 years, with my previous businesses, I'm not somebody who loves to online shop. Like, I love the experience of going into a store and talking to the people that work there and, you know, becoming friends with them. And I feel like with my business and with my business model, people have a lot of access to me, which is great because I actually get to know my customers, and so many of my customers become my friends, and it's this really beautiful relationship that you get with, like, the atelier experience that you just don't get when you're going to, like, you know, a big box store like a Nordstrom or a Macy's. Like, you don't get that experience from their website, no matter how beautiful they may be.
Yeah, I agree. And let me ask you, do you have, I imagine you have a strong local community there in LA, but do you serve also people in nationally? How does that work?
So I have clients across every continent, excluding Antarctica.
Okay.
I really wish I could dress a penguin, but I haven't yet. But I have clients all over the world. I think being an international opera singer, I've made friends everywhere that I go, and I've sung in so many different places. And also having my original operatic community that I started on, it's a social media group, and I have almost 12,000 women who are part of that. So I've really been able to harness what I had there and to also expand through social media and through Instagram and Facebook. Like, the world is so open now.
I love how you can combine that. When we talked to Sarah before, the same thing. I mean, her trips and finding these beautiful jewelry pieces and everything. It's just, there's so much opportunity. You don't have to live in a box, right?
No.
And there's so much you can do, and that makes it so wonderful.
I think what's been really interesting about my business is just how far it's reached. And it's like, every day I'm just like, I'm sending something to Singapore, like, or I'm sending something to Australia, like, I'm sending things to places that I've never been before. And it's like, it's so incredible to really create these relationships and these friendships with my beautiful, talented, and very diverse clientele.
Incredible. Amazing. So Stan, for the fashion entrepreneur who's listening right now, who's all inspired by your story and what you have accomplished, but you know, it's having a hard time, whether it's because of the pandemic or maybe, you know, struggling with themselves and what they're doing or building that community, what would you tell them? What's your message to them?
I would say it's not important how many followers you have. It's more important the community that you're willing to build, and you have to show up every single day for your business. You have to make the posts. You have to engage with people. You have to make them feel like they are part of your life, and you also have to be part of their life too. I know there's different people that I follow, and I look at their stories. I wonder what they're doing, and I think that's something that is very attainable right now. I also think that during this whole pandemic, I've grown so much as a creative. I've designed more pieces than I've ever designed. I've taken risks that I probably wouldn't have taken if everything was just going the way that it was previously. And yes, there's been days where I'm like, ugh, this is so hard. I'm working four times as hard and I'm not making what I was making pre-pandemic for the effort that I'm putting in. But what I'm getting back is I'm getting new people, new eyes on the product, new people that I'm engaging with every single day. So that is something that's really invaluable. And while we have time, while we're not going out and socializing outside of our homes, this is a great time to build a business and to scale a business and to grow a business. I guess growing and scaling are the same thing, but this is a great time to really focus that energy and to really invest in yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I love that message because I think that's where that's the thing that could have the biggest impact in someone's business. You think, like you mentioned before, you're not gonna just build a website and have it there, you know, or put a post out there and then don't engage. If you really don't do that part of the business, you don't have a business. You can have a great product, you can have a great website, you can have amazing prices, you can have a great tagline, but if you really are not involved with the people around you and building that community, you really have nothing. And I think people focus a lot on all the other things instead of focusing on that, which is the thing that is going to take them to the next level.
And I think something with my own business that I can attest to is that I had clients before I had a product, because I was so afraid when I started my line. Like, I mean, I built my clothing business on my rent check. I basically gambled it all. I mean, I'm from Las Vegas, so I guess gambling is sort of in my blood, even though I don't know how to play poker. But I said, you know what? I have this opportunity to create this clothing line. It will either work or it will fail spectacularly. But if I don't try, then there's no way I'm going to succeed. And so with that, you know, meager beginnings, like I bought my first textiles. Are they textiles I'm using today? Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. I was really able to reach the people that I already knew that had already purchased some of my vintage clothing, people who had attended operas that I had performed in, like colleagues, friends, family, like those people were my initial clientele. And from there, word just spread, and they told their friends, and their friends started purchasing from me. And that's how you build a business and a community, and you don't need a lot of money to do it.
No, I agree 100%. Suzanne, what is the best place for people to connect with you and your beautiful brand?
I would say Instagram is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I'm very active on social media, so feel free to slide into my DMs. Like, even if you're not, you know, ready to purchase something, just send me a message or leave me a comment and say, hey, I doing, or, hey, purple is my favorite color. What do you have? Mm-hmm. I love interacting with people, especially through Instagram and seeing their photos and really just being part of their lives as well.
Okay, great. Well, Suzanne, we'll make sure to share your Instagram and your website, and we'll also try to include there the Diva Who Hustles link as well, if people are interested. I thank you so much for being so honest and open. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. So guys, that's what we have for you today. I hope that this was helpful. If you like this podcast, please let me know, send us a message, an email, or share it with someone who might like it too. Also, if you have a moment, please subscribe to our podcast to show your support. Thanks so much for listening. Go ahead and follow Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne, for hanging out with us today. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week, guys. See you guys soon. Mm-hmm.